There were a few commandments in my family growing up. There were the Big Ten from the Bible, of course, and respecting my parents was very high on the list. But there were a few other behavioral laws, too. Probably none of those was more important than the washing of hands to keep germs at bay. My mother was a nurse, and in those days, nurse training taught that the washing of hands took several minutes and had a very thorough procedure. Mark is very big into explaining Jewish practices for his readers and his community. In this case, it is the fact that hands are considered defiled if not washed thoroughly. This was not about hygiene. It was about customs that were added to the written law to intensify its emphasis on ritual purity. The problem for the Pharisees was religious laxity. But the problem for Jesus is that those laws had been elevated to the same status as the revealed law of God. He responds with a vigorous attack on these customs because they distract people from the more important principles of the Mosaic law. The Pharisees have fallen into the same trap that their earlier leaders did, which was to allow their worship of the Lord to become vain and empty, which means to serve no purpose. In effect, their traditions came to be in competition with God's law. That law given by God was a sign that they were a people who had been freed from slavery, both physical and also spiritual, the slavery to gods that were no gods at all. In one verse, Jesus says, "You abandon the commandments of God and hold to human tradition." In the next verse, he declares, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition." The creation account in Genesis provides us really with the first of God's commandments, even before the 10, which Moses received and Jesus cites today. Living creatures of every kind, from the water and the air and the land, expressing the richness and variety of creation, they were blessed by God and told to be fruitful and multiply. Goodness and richness and diversity were blessed and given the command. Then humankind, God's own likeness and image, male and female, were given the same command, with the further commands, first, to fill the earth, which means to participate with God in spreading the richness and blessing of creation. Second, to subdue the earth, which means to, in a way, tame it without destroying it. And third, to have dominion over all the creatures which had been made, which, properly understood and translated, means to be stewards or caretakers of what God has made. It is good for us to ask today, what are the commandments that we must obey, whether they are specifically stated in sacred scripture or as a proper understanding of that same word of God? So we must also ask whether there are human traditions which are taking the place of those divine commands. Are there ways that we have made ourselves into gods by following laws of our own making, which put us against what God has commanded? What are the things that we see which form the worst kind of idolatry, because it means we have replaced the true worship of God with the worship of ourselves? The creation commandments: be fruitful and multiply. Instead, we have created a culture which sees much of life a burden, seeking to prevent conception or to kill it in the womb. Man and woman, created in God's likeness and in image. Instead, we have a culture which rebels against the very nature that God has imprinted upon us. The honoring of the Sabbath as the day God rested, not because he needed to, but as a blueprint for us to set aside a holy day for the worship of life and the God who gave it to us. Specific commandments that Jesus refers to include honoring a father and mother. Instead, we have a culture which seeks to end life rather than care for the elderly. worship in vain. The second of the Ten Commandments says not to use God's name in vain. We think of this as not to use swear words in anger, but it means not using God's name for no purpose, in vain. Eventually, it comes down to what we must do. Will we follow the truth of Jesus Christ, who died and rose to save us from our sins? Or will we follow the so-called truth that is of our own making and that is so popular today? As individuals, we probably can't change all those new traditions of our culture. One thing we could probably do that I might suggest today is to reclaim in our lives and in our family circles and in our spheres of influence the holiness of the Sabbath. Let us return and make our own worship on Sunday be true worship. There are probably some little things that we can do more than we even are doing now. Because this is, I think, a process for most of us. Because the culture has become so busy on Sunday, it has not allowed us that time to worship God, who has given us everything, who has created everything. Is there one or two little things that we might do a little bit more of? Maybe a little bit more time with family. Maybe just a few minutes more in prayer. Maybe just a little bit less shopping or other activities which lead us away from God. Let Sunday be a true worship, not just of our lips, but of our whole hearts.